Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your daily 10, and this is Mark Day. Last time we finished the first chapter of 1 John, and today we continue our study by taking a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. So I'll read those first 6 verses. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Well, John clearly shows his concern and affection for his readers by calling them little children. One of the things we learn as we closely study Jesus and his apostles is that they had a deep concern, deep passion, and heartfelt love for others. At the same time, Jesus and his apostles were bold in their confrontation with sin and their exhortation of those claiming to be followers of Jesus. In the first chapter, we saw that John didn't hesitate to confront false and weak thinking concerning Jesus Christ. But then here, we see his love and concern as he calls his readers, my little children. John cares for us, and John wants us to do well in our Christian walk. The care that John has for us will be seen in lots of encouragement as well as in a few rebukes. The apostle says that he's writing so that we might not sin. Now, John isn't blind and he isn't ignorant of progressive sanctification in the Christian growth process. John doesn't expect that Christians would not sin at all. He knows that human beings can't be sinless this side of heaven. But he does want to encourage Christ followers to be consistent in holiness, consistent in growing to be more like Jesus, and consistent in steadily sinning less. The people to whom John is specifically writing are regenerate people, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who have been delivered from their thirst for habitual sin. The distinguishing mark of a Christian is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling Spirit delivers us from the sins that imprison us to being less Christ-like in our daily witness. So John is writing so that we might grow in holiness, so that we might grow in Christ-likeness. Now, as the caring and affectionate apostle, John reminds readers that when we do sin, then we have one who will advocate on our behalf. And the advocate, of course, is Jesus Christ. An advocate is one who comes alongside another in their aid and in their support. The word advocate pictures a courtroom setting where the defender, the advocate, has come to the defense of the one being charged. God the Father is the holy and perfect judge who has been offended. Well, not simply offended. God has been injured because of our sin, because of the personal sin of each person. Now, Christ, the Son of God, is the perfect advocate who is always in perfect harmony with God the Father. This perfect advocate, the Son of God, only accepts clients who have confessed their wrongdoing and have confessed their desperate need for a Savior who will also be their Lord and lead them out of the impossible courtroom situation in which they find themselves. The perfect advocate has a 100% success record. Our perfect advocate always gains acquittal for those who place their trust in him. In verse 2 of chapter 2, the Apostle John refers to Jesus Christ as the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is not one we use commonly in everyday English language, but it is enormously important when it comes to the subject of our salvation. The word propitiation means complete satisfaction, as in to make complete satisfaction for something. Or we could say to make complete payment for something. The payment is satisfactory in every possible way. So, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ completely satisfies the sin sacrifice requirements of God. It completely satisfies God as it concerns God's judgment and our guilt over the sin we have committed against God. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the perfect sin sacrifice for human beings. I've said it several times and it bears repeating. It is possible to have a religious sacrifice that is insufficient. It doesn't do the required job. But that's not the case with Jesus. He's our propitiation. On the cross, Jesus completely satisfied, once for all, the righteous judgment of God against sin. When we, by faith, lay hold of Jesus as our own personal Savior, then His perfect sacrifice becomes our perfect sacrifice before God. There's an important observation in this courtroom drama where God the Father is the judge and God the Son is the perfect advocate. Every person, each of us, personally, will be held accountable for our own sin before God. And our sin is going to be judged, absolutely. No one escapes. Everyone is guilty. No one is guiltless. Now the question is, given our indefensible guilt, how will we deal with the righteous judgment of God concerning our sin? We will either stand and face judgment alone, or we'll stand under the care of our perfect advocate. Born-again Christians have put their trust in the one perfect advocate as their Savior. They've put their trust in Jesus Christ to defend them in the courtroom of God. Our sin is judged by God, no question. But our sins are laid upon Jesus so that when our sin is judged, it is Jesus who pays the fine. Jesus willingly took the wrath of God upon Himself for the sake of all those who would place their trust in Him. Those who have decided to go it alone, those outside of Christ, will have to stand alone. No advocate. They'll have to incur the full, unrestricted wrath and judgment of God as a consequence of violating God's perfect, righteous, and just moral standards, the perfect moral law of God. So, the Apostle John offers this as an encouragement to the folks reading his letter in the first century and to us here in the 21st century. Believers in Christ have a perfect defender, a perfect advocate, and that perfect advocate is also the perfect sin sacrifice for each person who would ever believe in Him. So, the false teachers who had infiltrated the first century church were sin deniers. They denied having sin in their life, which in turn, in their minds, put them on a higher spiritual plane than the common folk. But John has already shattered their arguments of spiritual superiority. Now, John encourages believers. He encourages believers by helping us recognize a God-honoring way to deal with our sin. Rather than blindly denying it, we have divine permission to confess it, to repent of it, seek God's cleansing, and trust our heavenly advocate to successfully plead our case before God for complete forgiveness. Sin, of course, is a reality. So it's encouraging to know there's a way of dealing with it that honors God. We don't need to live in fear that we'll be forever disqualified, forever shut away from God because of our sin. We have a perfect advocate, Jesus Christ, and that perfect advocate gives us confidence, humble confidence, that our sin has perfectly been dealt with by Jesus Christ Himself. Praise God. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.